This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, now with complimentary mints. Now, here's what you gotta do. You just go into the nearest store and take them. Don't say anything, just take them. And there they are. We are your constantly wheeling and dealing podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today to discuss some local folk, Chelsea. I think you're gonna like this episode. Chelsea, have you ever heard of the Hutchison effect?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
I've heard of it too, and I've decided we're doing an episode on John Hutchison, who I did not know this before we started. He's from North Vancouver.
But what did he do? Good things?
We're going to learn about him. He has a website. It is thehutchisoneffect.com. It is beautiful.
Can I go to it?
Yes. Go look at it right now.
Is that a cat?
That is a cat looking at something.
Is that a cat's eyeball?
I don't think that's a picture of him to the right, but it's a very dark silhouette. And then lightning just
whoa,
everywhere.
I didn't even see the person there. That just creeped me out. I didn't see them until you said that.
This website is a plethora of just gold. I started reading it and I said, no, you know what? We're going to learn about much of this all together at the same time through reading what he has to say about himself. I originally was really impressed. This guy was a professor at Harvard and a very legit scientist. And then I learned John Hutchison is a very different person from John Hutchison, who we're now going to learn about.
Okay.
Chelsea, as you can see, it's a black background with pink writing. It's just such a good template for a website. Also, great flash background. This is peak 1999 internet right here. And there is an Expedia ad on here, but it just says Expedia.com and the link broke. So, unfortunately, we can't tell where
the fuck is this?
Don't worry. We're going to read this all together, Chelsea, and we're going to learn about this. I did learn a bit outside of his website to talk about as we go through it. But a lot of the stuff that he's written, we're just going to learn together. So if you will have this, we will just start talking.
I'm taking it all in.
I am not misreading. I have copied and pasted. There are errors in what I will be reading. So just accept it.
I just checked. There's no like porn links or anything.
John Hutchison's life changed drastically in 1979 when, upon starting up an array of high-voltage equipment, he felt something hit his shoulder. He threw the piece of metal back to where it seemed to have originated, and it flew up and hit him again. This was how he originally discovered fundamental frequencies can shield gravity. John Hutchison is one of the foremost Nikola Tesla experts alive today, and he is still alive, I should point that out. At least as far as I can tell.
Okay, right. That sounds more right than Nikola Tesla.
He has replicated many of Nikola Tesla's works over the years, including the death ray and a smaller Philadelphia experiment. Seems legit. When John's Tesla coils, electrostatic generator, and other equipment created a complex electromagnetic field, heavy pieces of metal levitated and shot towards the ceiling, and some pieces shredded. Upon analysis and thorough investigation, the Canadian government dubbed this phenomenon the Hutchison effect. What is the Hutchison effect? As with much of the new energy field, no one can say for sure. Some theorists think the effect is the result of opposing electromagnetic fields canceling each other out, creating a powerful flow of space energy. The The Canadian government also reported invisible samples phasing in and out of existence. A Vancouver businessman, George Hathaway, heard about the Hutchison effect in 1980, contacted Hutchison, and brought in a consulting engineer from Boeing Aerospace and the Canadian government to form a company that would promote technology developed from the effect. They called the company Pharos Technology, which, just so you're aware, that's not a real company name because it doesn't have anything that indicated it's a company, like Inc. Limited at the end of the name. So I couldn't find the company. Many different political factors ensured Hutchison would not be allowed to continue in his research unless he signed agreements with either the Canadian government or the U.S. military. John refused both offers. A little while after he returned from Los Alamos military base, during one of John's overseas trips to Germany to secure funding from a different government, the Canadian government seized the opportunity to acquire all of John's priceless replicas of Nikola Tesla's equipment. They collaborated with his partner, and he put partner in quotation marks, John Lascazes, who was paid upwards of $70 million for information and samples of John's field stress detector. The government also created a false PCB scandal so they could use the local press to justify their actions and hide the true nature of what the government was actually removing from John's lab, located at 13th and Kingsway, Vancouver, BC. After many more years of experiments, demonstrations, and lectures in other countries such as USA, Germany, and Japan, Hutchison returned to Vancouver in 1991. Piece by piece, he built out of surplus Navy equipment what now had become a landmark in New Westminster, British Columbia. John has built himself an apartment laboratory second to none. It took several years before he could reestablish his collection. However, despite many obstacles, most political, John, until recently, had his apartment lab equipped to perform for all types of media demonstrating the Hutchison effect. The mayor of New Westminster forced him to cease in 2006. Then in 2010, John was forcibly removed by order of the mayor directing the fire marshal to remove him from his famous apartment lab on Fifth Ave. Under the experiment section, you will find John and friends are still developing new ideas and historically engineering suppressed and lost technologies for release and scrutiny by the general public. The Egyptian technology section and the Atlantean technology section are favorite topics of ours and the fans. In John's newsletter, he has released never-before-seen previously classified documentation from his own works, as well as some of the Department of Defense documentation he has acquired over the years from government sources, with or without official authorization. Please enjoy this independent scientist's website and all it has to offer. John has remained independent regardless of multi-million dollar offers to conceal his findings from the general public. NASA is among the agencies he has turned down, as well as both North American superpowers offering to privatize and or militarize his inventions. John believes in a world of free energy and the marvels of anti-gravity for the general public, not just those in positions of power. Now that the government has destroyed his third laboratory and again taken his home from him, where did John end up with his tiny fixed income and boxes of his broken dreams? A German research team bought his entire New Westminster apartment laboratory after seeing demonstrations of his effects and gave him enough seed money to take his whole show on the road with his new wife, Nancy. As John travels the USA in his newly converted SWAT bus mobile laboratory, he treats polluted waters of the Gulf with the Hutchison effect and researches different possible pollution solutions from his mobile command center. He also remains hopeful his inventions one day will ease the burden and suffering and enrich all of mankind all around the world, rich or poor. In the end, the government did crush his spirit and destroy his dreams. They set him loose. John roams the planet quite freely now with his wife and explores nature's mysteries to this very day. We hope you enjoy this website, and if you feel a desire to participate in John's adventure, all you need to do is email him. That's the opening ambles of the website.
I don't know if I want to participate. I don't want to participate.
I guess we could.
Change my mind.
I've watched his YouTube videos. He's not exactly exciting. He's also been a guest on Coast to Coast before. But yeah, unfortunately, he's not an exciting listen to. So
I'm sorry.
I don't know if we want to talk to him. Funny enough, some of these words are highlighted, although they're mostly in pink. Some of them are white.
Really?
To like, I don't know, like show key words. Nikola Tesla. There, yeah. Philadelphia experiment and Canadian government are all white words.
It's all hot.
I don't know why
writing,
but throughout.
A black background. Oh, field stress detector, apartment laboratory, experiment section, Egyptian technology section.
We're going to go through a few of these things. But before we do that, do you know what I didn't get from that, Chelsea, right, despite the fact he tried to do it? I have no idea what the Hutchison effect is still from the description.
Didn't want to say it out loud because I thought you might have said it, but I'm not sure what it is
either. I specifically looked up several different explanations of what the Hutchison effect is. I found one that seemed a reasonable length to go over. So we can talk about that next.
I was starting to think that it was Nikola Tesla.
It has something to do with Nikola Tesla. I don't know what. Also, he makes a few weird assertions about the government and having things seized. I should say at this point, I did look. I could not find anything with regards to news stories or court orders or articles in any kind our local government's cracking down on.
What's his first and last name? Oh, we don't have his date of birth. So, we can't look him up. We can't look him up on the court system if we don't have his date of birth, can we?
No, you can look him up still, but I couldn't find anything. I do know something about a court case he's involved with that we're going to talk about later, but I'm going to keep that one as kind of a surprise for
Okay, Hutchison is the last name, right?
Yes. Hutchison.
You obviously did this already. There's two John Hutchisons here. One's a violation ticket.
And very importantly, there's no N because there's a ton of John Hutchisons.
One has failed to retain and produce a proof of payment. That's probably a SkyTrain thing. I don't know if it's this guy, though. Federal Contravention VT, October 2016. Oh, this can't be the same guy, 1989.
So yeah, weird that there wouldn't be, say, like a judge signed off warrant if they seized his entire lab.
You would expect it to be in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but don't worry. We've got to start with the fundamentals. What is the Hutchison effect? Because you will hear this every now and then in the conspiracy community or the paranormal community.
Read it. I'm ready.
The Hutchison effect is a collection of phenomena which were discovered accidentally by John Hutchison during attempts to study the longitudinal waves of Tesla back in 1979. In other words, the Hutchison effect is not simply a singular effect. It is many. The Hutchison effect occurs as the result of radio waves interfering in a zone of spatial volume encompassed by high voltage sources, usually a Van de Graaff generator and two or more Tesla coils. The effects produced include levitation of heavy objects, fusion of dissimilar materials such as metal and wood, exactly as portrayed in the movie The Philadelphia Experiment, the anomalous heating of metals without burning adjacent materials, spontaneous fracturing of metals, which separate by sliding in sideways fashion, and both temporary and permanent changes in the crystalline structure and physical properties of metals. The levitation of heavy objects by the Hutchison effect is not, repeat not, the result of simple electrostatic or electromagnetic levitation. Claims that these forces alone can explain the phenomenon are patently ridiculous and easily disproved by merely trying to use such methods to duplicate what the Hutchison effect has achieved, which has been well documented both on film and videotape, and has been witnessed many times by numerous credentialed scientists and engineers. Challengers should note that their apparatus must be limited to the use of 75 watts of power from a 120 volt AC outlet, as that is all that is used by Hutchison's apparatus to levitate a 60 pound cannonball. The fusion of dissimilar materials, which is exceedingly remarkable, indicates clearly that the Hutchison effect has a powerful influence on van der Waals forces. In a striking and baffling contradiction, dissimilar substances can simply come together, yet the individual substances do not dissociate. A block of wood can simply sink into a metal bar, yet neither the metal bar nor the block of wood comes apart. And also, there is no evidence of displacement, such as would occur if, for example, one were to sink stone into a bowl of water. The anomalous heating of metal without any evidence of burning or scorching of the adjacent material, usually wood, is a clear indication that possibly the nature of heat may not be completely understood. This has far-reaching implications for thermodynamics, which hinges entirely on the presumption of such knowledge. It should be noted that the entirety of thermodynamics is represented by the infrared portion of the electromagnetic spectrum, which is insignificant in the context of 0 hertz to infinite hertz. The anomalous heating exhibited by the Hutchison effect shows plainly that we have much to learn, especially where thermodynamics and electromagnetism meet. The spontaneous fracturing of metals as occurs with the Hutchison effect is unique for two reasons. One, there's no evidence of an external force causing the fracturing, and two, the method by which the metal separates involves a sliding motion in a sideways direction horizontally. The metal simply comes apart. Some temporary changes in the crystalline structure and physical properties of metal are somewhat reminiscent of the spoon bending of Uri Geller, except that there is no one near the metal samples when the changes take place. One video shows a spoon flapping up and down like a limp rag in a stiff breeze. In the case of permanent changes, a metal bar will be hard at one end like steel and soft at the other like powdered lead. Again, this is evidence of strong influence of the van der Waals forces. The radio wave interference involved in producing these effects are produced from as many as 4 and 5 different radio sources, all operating at low power. However, the zone in which the interference takes place is stressed by hundreds of kilovolts. It is surmised by some researchers that what Hutchison has done is tap into the zero-point energy. This energy gets its name from the fact that it is evidenced by oscillations at 0 degrees Kelvin, which supposedly all activity at atoms ceases. The energy is associated with the spontaneous emissions and annihilation of electrons and positrons coming from what is called the quantum vacuum. The density of the energy contained in the quantum vacuum is estimated by some at 10 to the 13th joules per cubic centimeter, which reportedly is sufficient to boil the Earth's oceans in a matter of moments. Given access to such energy, it is a small wonder that the Hutchison effects produces such bizarre phenomena. At the present time, the phenomena are difficult to reproduce with any regularity. The focus of the future, then, is first to increase the frequency of occurrences of the effects and then to achieve some degree precision in their control. The work is continuing this time. Before long, we shall see what progress can be made. That is the end. That was written by, I don't know, it's copyrighted 1990.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Designed by Mark A. Solis. And it was written in Shreveport, Louisiana, February 16th, 1999. So I don't know what that part is. So at least we have some assertions as what it can do there, right? But we can't control it in any way.
No, I don't know. Just the whole Philadelphia experiment being thrown in there makes me a little leery.
I know.
Yeah.
And Uri Geller. And especially, this is something that many experts have seen this. That's great. No. Can you name any of them? Just tell us their names.
That makes it less scientific.
You can't get bogged down by specifics when you're talking about
you
groundbreaking science.
I can't believe it. Yeah,
he's gonna be vague.
That's
he did direct us to some of their research, including their Egyptian technology research. So we're gonna read that tab next, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
If you would, you're more than welcome to click on anything you want in there and just have a good time while this is going on. Oh no, there was a Philadelphia experiment revisited. Should I read that?
Yeah, do that one. Short. The Egyptian one is pretty fucking long.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it's not that bad. Anyhow, this one's really short. The story begins in 1943 with the USS Eldridge, DE, Destroyer Escort 173, being fitted with tons of experimental electronic equipment. This included, according to one source, 2 massive generators of 75 kVA each, mounted where the forward gun turret would have been, distributing their power through 4 magnetic coils mounted on the deck, 3 RF transmitters, 3,000 6L6 power amplifier tubes, special synchronizing and modulation circuits, and a host of other specialized hardware were employed to generate massive electromagnetic fields, which, when properly configured, would be able to bend light and radio waves around the ship, thus making it invisible for the enemy observer. It is also noteworthy to mention that Nikola Tesla's notes that went missing upon his death are rumored to have been the basis for the entire experiment. Nikola was the creator of tubes, lasers, and the father of radio frequency. He made the first AC power generators and harnessed the powers of the cosmos by emitting 200 million volts of sympathetic radio frequency. John Hutchison, one of the world's foremost authorities on Nikola Tesla, and Ronnie Milioni are experts in their fields where military stealth, radio, radar, and sonar equipment is concerned. This world-famous duo teams up in a documentary series demonstrating a legendary engineering challenge, the recreation of the Philadelphia experiment, and their co-creation of the different arrays, instruments, and laboratory control complex fields generation equipment that will be used to create those effects. Their hope is to provide a platform for a whole new branch of radio sciences that students of future generations have a basis for technologies that will allow major advances in the way we manipulate matter and how we observe and measure it. That's all they have. We did an entire episode that kind of fell into an arc. I think it's the Bill Moore arc, is it not? Within there?
It is.
Somewhere in there. It's all bullshit. You can go listen to that episode. The Philadelphia experiment
did not happen.
It's related
to Bill Moore. Definitely. And somebody that he penned some books with, and the guy who also wrote with it, I believe, also played into the Bermuda Triangle, I think, if that's the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it was a while ago. It was like 2 years ago we did this, so it's not top of mind. I believe the guy had a fake name, wasn't it? And it was just like the Spanish version of his real name.
Yeah.
And they found him and talked to him. Oh, yeah. What was...
And we just read something recently on... What did I read? It was somebody's opinion on what happened with the Philadelphia experiment. What was that? One's opinion. It'll come to me. I gotta think about it.
Go back and listen to that episode, because if nothing, that's the part where you should start having concerns raised. He's taking it as very real right there. And then ties it back to a rumor that the documents might have contained something about this from Nikola Tesla. Like, that's just trying to expand your area of expertise. Is it not? Like, you could tie anything into that.
No, John Keel. I was just thinking John Keel read a letter, or somebody wrote a letter that John Keel wrote about his opinion on the Philadelphia experiment. You read that on the John Keel episode.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with
you. Okay. You could be an expert on anything. You could connect Nikola Tesla to anything. By saying, oh, there's rumors about that. I've never seen them. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say I've never seen them. People definitely try to throw Nikola Tesla's name into anything. It's not founded in anything. Okay, now let's move on to the Egyptian technology. The ancient Egyptians have had many advanced scientific technologies, with much being found in picture form and in three-dimensional models throughout Egypt. Themes reflecting scientific knowledge and achievement can be found throughout the world in various ancient civilizations. These teachings seem to center on electromagnetic energies. Wall reliefs depict scientists of that timeline able to work in fields of alchemy, biology, chemistry, dentistry, and anesthesiology, air flight, and the electromagnetic energies of the Great Pyramids, among other sites. During the course of John's documentaries and experiments, he caught the attention of a UK filmmaker named Bruce Burgess of Blue Book Films with the Discovery Channel. Bruce had made a documentary for Discovery about the legendary Ark of the Covenant. Have researching the subject extensively, again, I'm not fixing the typos as I'm going for this guy. One of the ideas that fascinated him was the prospect of recreating the Ark of the Covenant. Having known of John through the film industry, Bruce commissioned him to partake in a new documentary for the Discovery Channel about the creation of testing such a device. The device worked. An electronic fog, orbs, zippy tiny lights appeared out of thin air, and very small light forms described as angelic miniature forms appeared to circle the angels atop the Ark. There are video links as well as links to the documentary below. As things turned out, this Ark vanished. It was stolen. We were compelled to recreate another made only of materials available to the ancients, with a power source built right inside. Legends say it was a radio to God. It was also considered to be the very first weapon of mass destruction, having been carried into battle on many occasions to secure a victory. The second Ark has two transceivers, Tesla coils, wound oppositely, and has the ability to be used as an ancient radio. Unsuppressed lightning strikes will reach as far as 6 feet or so from each solid brass eagle. He was challenged to recreate it and use Tesla coils for the technology of the time.
I have one right here.
Okay.
Borrowing my laptop.
It's been handed down for thousands of generations. If suppressed and modulated, it certainly does make a very powerful radio. Also, during John's experiments with this other Tesla equipment, he achieved effects such as levitation, transmutation of elements, creation of new compounds, time manipulations, rapid aging of samples, disappearing samples, and so on. Why would you stop there? And so on? Just tell us everything that happened.
Hey, and what kind of samples are we talking about?
I don't know. The Tesla coils are resonating frequencies that disturb the natural resonances that binds matter. The resulting harmonic casts aside the current laws of physics and thermodynamics, to name a couple.
You really wouldn't want to name them all. That would ruin the research.
No, you know, the very well-known saying, to name a couple.
Wouldn't want to. It's so unscientific.
You wouldn't want to get to a few, would you? These laws are suspended by what John describes as a gravity shield. This shield may also manipulate time as well if current theory N the subject is correct. I think on is what is meant there, but N the subject is correct. That one force is interwoven with the other. All of the legends of ancient technology seems to be plausible in the light of these new findings. I don't know what findings he's talking about, because again, everything he's doing is using Tesla coils, which I guess I could go through the history of them. They were invented by Nikola Tesla. He has never at any point said that this was lost technology. I shouldn't say he didn't at any time. I don't know the entire life story of Tesla and his everything he wrote or said. I'm fairly confident he would say he invented them.
He could have just thought it, and that's what he's referring to.
Even the legend of the Philosopher's Stone, supposedly used as a catalyst in the transmutation of elements into gold, has been described by alchemists as being everywhere yet nowhere, abundant yet having no mass, all around yet unseen, complex yet children could create it. Also, famously, was never created by alchemists. It was always rumored to have been, but nobody actually had it.
No, I didn't know that about gold.
Sorry, Philosopher's Stone. Not gold. He was talking about the Philosopher's Stone, which is supposed to be like something in alchemy that can turn whatever you want it to be. It is also believed to be the elixir of life. Could the Philosopher's Stone be frequency? Children whistle. A Rife machine is radio frequency based and could also be considered an elixir of life. Could the pyramid's great blocks of stone have been levitated into place by an arc designed to resonate in harmonic sympathy with the massive granite stones? As it was recorded in the supposed time frame, one block could have been placed every 2 minutes for 20 years, a feat still impossible with all of today's manpower equipment. You know, this one goes on for a while there. I think we can end this part here. I should also note at the end, he does talk about there being a member area where there's other stuff that you can look at, but I couldn't be bothered to sign up, so sorry, guys.
Hey, this could be nothing. Just a mere observation. I don't even know where the hell I am on his website, and I'm getting really annoyed because you can click on pictures, but they're just fucking downloading to my computer, and I don't like that.
Yeah, and a lot of the videos aren't up anymore, which is very unfortunate.
So, where am I? Oh, I'm under experiments. So, he has the Egyptian ancient technology, the Philadelphia experiment revisited. So, the person that I was referring to that worked with Bill Moore on that is Charles Berlitz, and he did write the Philadelphia experiment. Now, on the same page, he also has Noble Gas Power Generator, Latest Hutchison Effects, Bermuda Triangle Secrets Revealed, which is also a Charles Berlitz thing. So we haven't done Charles Berlitz, but Bermuda Triangle, yes, and Philadelphia experiment.
But we've done
those
two
and
things.
And Charles Berlitz,
he might be coming up on the list.
He's linked to
then.
Bill Moore. So I find it very interesting that he has both these two things also linked on his website when I don't feel like there's any need for it based on what he's doing, really, other than saying he's doing the Philadelphia experiment.
After reading some of this, you're skeptic. Part of your brain is starting to see some red flags, right? Like, there's some things that you're like, I'm a little worried about this. Don't worry, he has a debunkers and skeptics page.
Where is
that we can now read? I can't remember. I think it's under,
it's hidden. I'll find it.
Sorry, the debunkers and skeptics starts off with brackets, and this is in brackets. Due to personal attacks, John has decided there will be no more forums thanks to the trolls.
Oh no, that's a David Wilcock thing.
Yeah, I know.
No, David Wilcock wouldn't shut down because of trolls. He would just say that it's because he's doing his job.
Yeah, it is. His moderators aren't there.
Yeah. Oh, they're offline right now.
Let's go into this part now. Long before many of you now reading this were born, John Hutchison was tinkering with the laws of physics in ways that most mere mortals find too difficult to believe.
What does he think is reading like?
When he was a younger man growing up in North Vancouver, BC, Canada, he was a child of wealthy, decent couple with a good position in society. Just as an aside, North Vancouver, yes, it was a wealthy couple, like guaranteed. That's what North Vancouver is.
It is.
He was homeschooled by some very interesting teachers.
Oh boy.
The entire world was his classroom. Unlike today's curriculum, which confines students to their desks, even before they enter the workforce. As such, John has had many different ideas that normal people didn't have. And one of those things I really should point out, sometimes these other trains of thought that you think are interesting, the reason you're not taught about them in school is because they have been tested and are deemed dumb as soon as it's put through any sort of rigor. That's just what happens. We try these things, we move on. Don't think every idea you have is unique. There may be, in fact, some reason that we don't use it.
Okay, fair enough.
Being homeschooled, I mean, maybe it's not a bad thing, but in my mind, you don't get a whole education through homeschooling generally.
Yeah.
Having studied Tesla, Einstein, Townsend, Morey, Rife, just to name a few, John's path seems to have been chosen for him. John was aware that Thomas Edison electrocuted puppies in public to cause people to fear AC power. John was aware that Nikola Tesla had been using radio to cure tuberculosis in the late 1800s and applied for the patents for the radio in 1897, 3 years after Marconi. Edison's influence had helped Marconi receive that patent, even though his apparatus used Tesla's patented Tesla coil in the design. John was also well aware that history is written by the victors, not from fact. Had John known that he would be following in Tesla's footsteps in more than one respect, in his discoveries and in his portrayals, he would have done things differently from the beginning. John created these videos to share his discoveries with the world, but with all amazing creations, there are usually some side effects, such as the internet, for instance. What an amazing resource. How small the world has become and how vast at the same time, a negative side effect of his marvelous invention is known as the internet troll, aka the armchair skeptic. In response to why didn't he do this or that if he wanted to prove his experiments were not fake, if you put yourself in his shoes for a moment, you can see things a little different. This entire discovery and all original footage was all pre-internet. These videos were recorded to share with science, not for YouTube. And at the time, there was no doubt that he would be able to reproduce the effects on demand for any interested parties. In 1986, he had major funding lined up and major connections into the government. He had his own ray gun at Expo 86 and was the center of attention each time he set it off. To take proof videos, one would need to believe it was all coming to an end. The connections, the funding, the partners, the business, and the movie offers. The government connections would keep his videos and deny agreements and go silent. The partners would each steal what they could and go on to acquire millions of dollars in funding, and his laboratories would be forcibly seized when he was lured out of the country. To even conceive all of these things conspiring to...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Challenge's ability to reproduce his effects would have been such a plain paranoia at the time the videos were recorded. For instance, why would you film yourself scratching your own nose? So you could prove that you had done it. Previous to losing your arms, especially if you had an idea at the time that you would lose your arms. John never intended, as he filmed, to prove anything. He could do the proving in his lab. collapse, and had already done so and aired on many national news networks. He had nothing to prove and still does not. He shares what he wishes with those who would like to see it. At first, John was betrayed by his country, who forcibly stole his videotapes, and then shortly after took his lab. A decade later, even though a court ordered the return of the items, they had not been recovered. And Chelsea, right there, I didn't read everything, but I read some things. I was like, okay, he's talking about court orders. There should be something there. Nothing in the courts. At least as far as I could find. Moreover, the City of New Westminster had an agreement with John. He was to keep the experimentation to a minimum in his subsequent lab, and he would be allowed to keep his new apartment lab. Once the website went public, however, the mayor had been alerted that John had been continuing his experiments. The fire marshal ordered John to remove all contents of his lab.
Aww.
John complied and has since left Canada for good. He has moved on to build a mobile laboratory out of an old SWAT team bus. So if it needed to be removed, he may do so in 5 minutes and merely turn a key.
I mean, I'm not sure what to think of all this. There's no evidence that this happened. But also, like, what kind of fucking experiments do you think that he's doing in his apartment that are probably a fire hazard?
I just love how much power the mayor of New Westminster has in this story, too.
And he's, like, specifically out for this guy.
Yeah. Which, for those of you not aware, Vancouver is several city area. Vancouver proper is surrounded by like five different cities that include New Westminster, North Vancouver, Richmond, Surrey, a whole bunch of other ones.
Yep.
So it's not even like the major mayor in the neighborhood. Just keeping an eye on him. John continues his experiments to this day and travels around the United States with his mobile lab. After years of speculation, stalkers, harassment, and unfounded postulations, John has decided it is time to release the video below, which seems to show the samples disappear as they rise. We discovered this together while editing some videos for this website. Again, I need to state this clearly. If you're presenting proof of something, don't freaking edit it. Just put it out there. Editing is sketchy as hell when you're trying to give proof. He has previously been sent analysis reports from the Canadian government that described his samples disappearing in the videos he sent them. However, he noted that he never saw it. They must have slowed down the video. So we downloaded Virtual Dub, a free video editor, and had a look frame by frame.
God.
To our astonishment, we found what the government had described. Each sample seemed to vanish just as it was levitated. It was as though the object was separated into a different dimension and seems to have been jerked out of its form, leaving behind a shadow, and it jerks back into the sample, then repeats. Again, as we go frame by frame, there is one oddity. At a certain point in the video, there are two different metallic blobs that just appear between the frames. No splices or edits. They just showed up. In summary, John has come a long way from those days where he first caught media attention for creating his own balloons out of nylon with his own chemistry set, covered them with tinfoil, filled them with his own homemade hydrogen, and transmitted wireless radio technology that lit them up like light bulbs as they floated across the sky. As he blacked out everyone's television signal, Tesla used to do similar experiments, but John did it in the sky. The number of UFO reports in Canada has likely been reduced since John left. And again, Chelsea, you cannot find any stories about this shit that he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what to make of this guy.
Does that not feel like it should have been in a local newspaper in the 80s?
Probably, yeah.
And nothing. So I don't know. A couple of things for the record. John never named this effect. The Canadian government did. Contrary to what some have said, I could not find anything from the Canadian government talking about the Hutchison effect. John was homeschooled and was never a doctor nor a scientist holding any scholarship or degrees of any kind other than honorary degrees bestowed on him out of respect for the institution that have done so. Nor has he claimed to be anything other than, quote, a discoverer of nature's secrets, end quote. He does not refer to himself as doctor. If someone else referred to him as doctor, he would likely mock the thought of it by putting his pipe in his mouth and giving his best Sherlock Holmes impression with his faux British Cockney accent.
Oh, wow.
Does he know that Sherlock Holmes is not a doctor?
Does he know that, I mean, he says at one point that he was offered like a contract with the government and he said no. He probably should have done that if he's not a doctor or have any education at all.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I almost get the Canadian version of what's that guy who worked at Bob Lazar. A Canadian Bob Lazar feel from this guy, but not quite.
Not quite. He's a little bit more
Bob Lazar at least seems to have a little bit. Yeah. Well, that's always how the Canadian version is. Second cup.
It's true.
That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head somehow, but there are a ton of them. John didn't make these original videos for proof of anything, only to share his experience with those who could not personally attend the experiments at the time. A parting thought. John is nearly 70 years old. He doesn't really care what people think anymore. What do those superpowers old people have? If you enjoy it, great. Contact him if you want to say hi. He's very open to that. For those people who slander him and want to demand proof and make unfounded, ugly statements because of their own fears, paranoia, and ego, you should really ask yourselves. I really need to emphasize, it is yourself, ..S. Not yourselves. Who are you anyways? What is your contribution? What are your credentials? And who asked for your critique? And how is it that John owes the world anything?
That's right now.
Some of you who like to take turns kicking a 70-year-old man while he's
not
down,
fun.
You're trolls and should be flogged. If the world was a fair place where people actually did cooperate for the benefit of mankind and got everything that they earned, we would all have free wireless power by now. There would have been no recent atomic disaster, and John would have the Nobel Peace Prize for his contribution. He tried to have open forums and host an open exchange of ideas and technology to inspire people. Each forum was continuously disrupted by the same little group of trolls and shut down by John is frustration, and still the forum is shut down. It seems John's work will be instead put to use in dark corners such as HARP, based upon his work controlling metallic elements dumped upon us by our own government known as chemtrails. Another fallacy, right? And the trolls contributed to the success of this unstoppable wireless ugliness and just helped Japan murder the entire Pacific Ocean. Happy fishing. Enjoy your fish sticks and bargain price Japanese lobsters. The people just wouldn't listen until it was too late. Maybe we can call this new radioactive slate of the world the troll effect. All those types are good for is trying to rip something down that they could not possibly build in the first place. If you have any questions, ask John. He might respond.
Hey, I like this last part.
Yeah. I really get the feeling he wrote this in the third person. Just, I don't know why. I just get that feeling that this is him writing in the third person.
You just get the feeling?
Do you or no?
I don't think I do, but I wasn't looking at it that way. You're just going to have to start the episode again.
Okay. Because, like, it is, everything's referring to him as John, but I'm pretty sure he's the one writing it.
Now that you say it that way, yes, I do get the feeling. Okay. I do.
Oh, yeah. And if you click on press, it gives you everything that he's done. Oh, there are actually news clippings in there. Good for him. Next, Chelsea, we're going to go away from the website for a little while and go to Rational Wiki. They have a Hutchison page. We're going to learn a bit about him from there, okay?
I'm ready for this.
John Hutchison was born October 19th, 1945. So he's actually 80 now. That is very clear that this website is a little behind its day. He is a Canadian self-proclaimed inventor who claims to have discovered and promptly forgotten the secrets of levitation, free energy, and how to make certain metals vanish. He also claims to work for the U.S. military while living in Vancouver, Canada. While attempting to recreate the experiments of Nikola Tesla in the late 70s, Hutchison claims to have discovered new phenomena, including effects manifesting in metals. The effects of his experiments supposedly include metal objects floating to the ceiling, shattering, melting, while keeping enclosing wood cool, fusion with other objects, and other interesting manifestations. And these disparate manifestations are all being lumped together under the name Hutchison effect. Explanations of the effect rely heavily on technobabble, especially referencing zero-point energy and Casimir effect. In particular, Hutchison claims to have invented batteries, which are capable of creating free energy. This purported technology revolution, which he says has the potential to change the world around us, is yet another example of Hutchison's extraordinary effects. It's certainly odd, too, when one considers the fact that no other scientific breakthrough have been blocked in such a way in democratic countries such as Canada, and that making such a breakthrough should make a person a billionaire. No attempts to replicate Hutchison's experiments by a third party has so far been successful. Many agencies, including NASA, have attempted to recreate the Hutchison effect. After extensive testing, Mark Millis, NASA's head of finding new propulsions method of spacecraft, wrote, "The Hutchison effect has been claimed for years without any independent verification ever. In fact, its originator can't even replicate it on demand. This has been investigated more than once, been part of documentaries on the Discovery Channel, but still never seems to pass critical muster. This is in the category of folklore. In general, the American Anti-Gravity website caters to such folklore and its enthusiasts, which he's represented on. Hutchinson himself claims to have replicated the results numerous times prior to 1991, while admitting some footage he has released since was faked, as he is no longer able to recreate the effects. He assumes that nobody would notice that the levitating objects were actually falling in front of an upside-down camera, or held up with invisible strings, which he initially tried to convince his audience were cords supplying power to the levitating objects. As Hutchinson said, and this is a quote from him, "A string is not string, but 32-gauge double polythermalized wire on a take-up reel with 20 to 50,000 volts DC. The main apparatus was turned on, causing the toy plastic UFO to fly about in amazing gyrations. This was a pretest Griffin Films airing this fall on Fox TV. I did not need the extra high voltage 2000 time period, so the toy levitated without high voltage hookup during the filming of the Griffin. There was a string on the toy, no high voltage DC, but interesting movements," end quote there. Tim Ventura later removed this explanation from the American Anti-Gravity website and claimed that Hutchinson got creative with the footage because the EPA won't let him do experiments anymore. The levitation effects have been mockingly reproduced by Ace Baker while juggling in the background and Bill Beatty. And strangely enough, Chelsea, when asked why he is unable to demonstrate the results of his experiments anymore, Hutchinson claims he has been coerced and had his work destroyed by the government, who then used it to do 9/11.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
There's one weird place where his name keeps popping up on the internet, and it's Dr. Judy Wood's website, drjudywood.com, like drjudywood.com.
Yeah.
She sued the government because she claimed that they did 9/11. It was an inside job. And he provided an affidavit for it. This should come as no surprise. The lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice, so it can never be brought again because she had zero evidence to show anything happened. But he has an affidavit for how they used his technology to do 9/11.
That's ballsy to sign an affidavit on that.
Yeah. And I can just, I guess we can go through a bit of this affidavit.
Yeah, let's do that.
"I am familiar with the claims made by Dr. Wood in her complaint in this matter, as well as with the broader factual and scientific underpinning of her claims. As a result of the opportunity to familiarize myself with the content of Dr. Wood's assertions via research and via meetings with her, I here assert that information she has amassed and set forth in detail in her affidavit and in her complaint confirm her assertion that directed energy weapons were a causal factor in the destruction on 11 September 2001 at the World Trade Center complex in New York. The foregoing declaration is based on my background and experience as an experimental scientist, having knowledge, expertise, and an inventorship capacity with respect to devices and processes that are in the nature of directed energy. Upon examination of the destructive effects done to the World Trade Center on 9/11, as documented by Dr. Wood and as reviewed by me, I can and do assert that the World Trade Center was destroyed by devices that are scaled up, refined, and or weaponized versions of the effects that I named the Hutchinson effect. Some of the evidence which illustrates this is pictured in Table 1. In the years from and after 1979, many of the members of the so-called and aptly named military-industrial complex have visited my lab, corresponded with me, and or in a variety of other respects, observed my work and my inventions. In the course of my research, I have come across many effects, some of which are described below. Holes are found to appear in glass and commonly white outer layers of material forms. I have witnessed slow fusing metal." I'm just trying to see if anything else comes up about 9/11 in here. No, he's talking about his background here. But yeah, like, is that not a bizarre twist you weren't expecting at the end there?
And I think I've heard of this person before as well. Judy Wood.
Yeah, she's really big in the 9/11 truthers movement.
Yeah, I'm just looking through her website here. But no, I was totally not expecting that, nor would I expect that he would sign an affidavit based on this.
I know. And just so bizarre. What about everything in that effect that we just talked about would, like, oh yeah, 9/11. What?
Yeah, of course. Actually, it was the only logical place for it to go.
Yeah, it's the only place it could go from there. It had to jump a shark. But yeah, that's what I learned about John Hutchinson, Chelsea. That was a fun rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, that was something.
And the funny thing is, I've said and you said, the Hutchinson effect is something that is discussed. You got to look into it when you hear these things. And we're like, there's got to be something behind this. Like, where does this come from? Oh, this homeschooled kid did this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, it comes from absolutely nowhere and it was made up.
And she gets really mad about people saying this doesn't prove anything when he posts the video.
I love his rebuttal to it, though. I enjoyed it. You know, I've heard of the Hutchison effect before. I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was before. Not going to say that that went very far from what I believed in the first place, but...
And a lot of people will push, like, it's... If UFOs are powered by the Hutchison effect, or that's how the ancients built these technologies, is one way of saying it. And when something has a name like that, you're like, oh yeah, it seems legit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's not. So yeah. That's the story behind it.
Now we know, and now we have another asshole to add to the list.
Yeah, but this one's in his 80s and he don't care. Oh, sorry, he says he don't care, but he wrote a really lengthy thing saying he doesn't care, which makes me think he cares a little.
Based on that, he does care.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea, who will not be getting our emails replied to from Hutchison, because we're kind of mean to him. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hey.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.